Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the bottom of Ayin Tes Omid Beis, three lines from the bottom. The shiur is dependent upon a prior knowledge of a brisa that was studied at the end of the previous shiur. In that brisa, there was mention of situations of a todah in which the bread that ordinarily comes with the korban todah, the 40 loaves, would not be brought with that kind of todah, namely that which was mentioned in the brisa. Today's shiur begins with a comment of Rabbi Yochanan that will require clarification. In the outside margin of our Gemara, the Shas Ozir, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we offer topic headings and structural notes when needed. The structural notes feature the geometric forms as they appear in each new sugya. In this case, we have combined the topic heading with a structural note under what we call the Nosei Mivneh heading. You notice a trapezoid or volcano shape. In this sugya, it will be appearing in two different directions. Narrow part facing up, narrow part facing down. This is going to be the ma'akav. You can see we've written in this word and put it in parentheses. This use of the shape is in order to keep track of the flow, the give and take of the sugya. In this case, we've also written Shlavim. These volcano shapes represent stages, Levarer, to clarify, Ha Dechilek Rabbi Yochanan, to clarify Rabbi Yochanan's distinction between La'achar Kapara, Derak Oz Lo Bo'i Lechem, Lifnei Kapara, De Bo'i Lechem. He makes a comment about the bringing of a particular Todah situation prior to the owner's fulfillment of his obligation. At that point, he will need to bring the loaves, and the case where he brings this kind of todah, we are being vague right now because that is exactly the point that the Gemara has to clarify, a point at which he brings this particular todah after he has fulfilled his obligation. Which the term that's used is he's received kapora, literally means atonement, but we're not dealing with the technical term atonement as is the case with a sin offering, but nevertheless, kapora is a reference to his having fulfilled his sacrificial obligation. So there is a distinction that Rabbi Yochanan makes between a case called achar kapora, in which there is no necessity of bringing the breads, as opposed to a case prior to Kapara, where he does need to bring the breads. As we said, the volcano represents attempts to figure what does Rabbi Yochanan mean? What is he referring to? The volcano form will flip over narrow part facing down at the point at which the particular suggestion is rejected. So now let us turn to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom of Ayin Tes Amid Beis, Sholach Rav Chanina Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Chanina sent in the name of Rabbi Yochanan the following, Loi Shanu Elo La'achar Kapora. The source that taught that there is no need for the Lechem, that is true only if the owner has fulfilled his Todah obligation already. Avolifnei kapora teunin lechem. If, however, the owner has not fulfilled his Toda, his Toda sacrificial obligation, then he will need to bring the bread. Havi ba Rav Amram. Havi is an expression meaning question. He was bothered or asked. Rav Amram was investigating and asking, Ahei, on what? Regarding which case, which scenario is Rabbi Yochanan teaching what he is teaching? In general, one should bear in mind that if an Amoira, like Rabbi Yochanan, is coming to teach me something, we're assuming he's teaching me something that without him I would not have known. So the Gemara asks here, regarding what scenario is Rabbi Yochanan talking? If you think that he's talking about this case called Chalife Toidas Choivo, so we have to say a word about this case before rejecting it. We have to know what we're going to reject. As you can see, the trapezoid or volcano flips around very shortly. Nevertheless, what is the attempt? If a person had accepted upon themselves a personal obligation to bring a korban toida, he said, for example, "Hare olai lahavi toida." A personal obligation is something that, if anything happens to the animal that a person set aside for his vow, he will have to make good on it. He'll have to bring a replacement animal. That's called accepting responsibility, or achrayus. Let us say a person had accepted upon himself responsibility to bring a korban toda. He set aside an animal, and it got lost. Well, then he's obligated to set aside another animal. And as long as the first animal is lost, the second animal that he set aside as a replacement will be his korban toda. And under normal circumstances, where he doesn't find the first one, he brings this replacement animal with the 40 loaves. In the event that he finds the first one afterwards, so he won't have to bring additional loaves when offering that original animal that had been lost. So if we're talking about that case of Chalipe Toida, where there was a replacement animal set aside under circumstances that the person had accepted upon himself the obligation to bring the oila, the toida, so I don't really need Rabbi Yochanan for what he said. As the Gemara goes on to say, "E lifnei kapara tanina." Tanina means we have that in a Tanaic source already. If you're telling me that if Rabbi Yochanan's halacha concerns a case of lifnei kapara, namely, he had set aside a toda, it got lost, and then set aside a replacement one, and before bringing the replacement one, he found the original one. That's called lifnei kapara. Well, we already know that in such a case, so if it's lifnei kapara, and he's going to use the original animal, it will need the bread. And the Gemara goes on to say, "E la'achar kapara tanina." And if it's a case, the same case, however, when he found the original one, he had already offered the replacement one as his korban toda, then the original one, which is now being offered after kapara, it will not need the bread. So once again, that's tanina. That is taught in a Tanaic source before Rabbi Yochanan. I don't need Rabbi Yochanan to tell me about that, to tell me about the case of la'achar kapara, it not needing the bread. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan's distinction is not referring to the case of Chalipe Toidas Chova. As we said, Chalipe Toidas Chova has already been taught in a Tanaic source. I don't therefore need Rabbi Yochanan to make the distinction that's already covered in the earlier source. Ela, a second attempt. Achalipe toidas nidova. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan's distinction concerns a case where someone had dedicated a specific animal to be brought as a todah, but not accepting upon himself personal obligation and personal guarantees. That involves a case where a person pointed out, he designated a particular animal, Hare Zu Todah. In such a case, if anything happens to the animal, he does not have to replace it. He does not have to make good on it. Let us say he nevertheless had said Hare Zu, set aside an animal, it got lost, and then he set aside another animal, a replacement animal. Did he have to set aside the replacement animal? No. In such a case, what happens if he finds the original animal? So, the Gemara goes on and says, well, if Rabbi Yochanan was making a distinction between before Kapara and after Kapara, in that case, it wouldn't be true. Bein lifnei Kapara, bein la'achar Kapara, te'unos lechem. Mar bebetoidos hu. In the case of someone designating a specific animal in the Hare Zu fashion, where he says, I designate this animal, then it doesn't matter whether the original animal was found before the replacement animal was offered. Then I guess you would say it obviously, the original animal will obviously need the breads because he hasn't fulfilled any Todah obligation whatsoever. But even after he had offered the replacement animal, if he then finds the original animal, being that he never had to offer that replacement animal, the fact that he set it aside, he really set it aside with an intention of offering more todos than he was required to. In such a case, each todah is really a separate entity, and as such, each todah will require its own set of 40 breads. That's called marba betoidos. And as we said, in that case, no distinction is made between before kapara and after kapara. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan was not addressing that situation. Elo avlad nidova. Well, maybe Rabbi Yochanan's distinction concerns Elo. Let's read that again. Elo avlad toida nidova. Rabbi Yochanan was going on this case, possibly the vlad of a toida nidova. A toida nidova is the case that we just spoke about, where he said Hare Zu. Now Hare Zu, he designated a specific animal, and in this case, he designated a pregnant animal. Is he obligated to make good on this animal if anything happens to it? No, it's an adova. It's Hare Zu. Let us say then he designated a pregnant animal as a korban todah, and then it gave birth. Does he have to bring additional breads for that vlad todah? Does it make a difference whether he offered the mother already or did not? The Gemara says, in fact, it makes no difference. Bein lifnei kapara, bein la'achar kapara, ein te'unin lechem. The case of the vlad todah, the offspring of the todah, it does not matter whether a mother was offered already or not. Moisar de toida hi. It's called moisar toida. It's called the extra or the outgrowth of the toida. Such a thing does not require breads. There's a Rashi, Elo avlad toida nidova. You'll see Rashi, the third narrow line. Kagon shifrish, he set aside an animal, the yolda. Bein lifnei kapora, bein lacha kapora, ein tuuno lechem. That offspring does not require breads to be brought along with it. The Moisir de Todahi, Shikvar Niskaper Biacher. It's called Moisar Todah. It's a Moisar Todah, and he's already achieved his atonement with another animal. Atonement meaning he's fulfilled his obligation with another animal. Vave Kimafrish Mois Lutoidoso Vinisvasru. It's like a case where a person set aside a certain amount of money for the purchase of a Todah, and he didn't need to use all of the money. The Chol Dover Habo Me'elov Kagon Vlad Choshev Moisar. Any benefit or profit that comes on its own is called Moisar. The Rashi Ksav Yad points out that a Moser Todah is simply something that it is an outgrowth of the Todah, and it's not considered the Todah itself. But since he had no obligation to, let's say, make good on the original animal, so the Vlad is a pure outgrowth. It's a pure Moisar Todah, and as such, it does not generate a need for bread. Ela, Avlad Todah Choiva. The new suggestion is that maybe Rabbi Yochanan's distinction was going on the case of the offspring of a Todah that he set aside at a point that he had accepted personal obligation. He said, for example, Hare Olai Todah, and he set aside a pregnant animal. We say as follows. If he offers the offspring before he offers the mother, Lefnei Kapora, Ta'un Lechem. If he didn't offer the mother yet, and he's using the offspring to fulfill his personal obligation, it needs bread. Li'achar kapara ein ta'un lechem. If he, however, offered the mother and then comes to offer the offspring, it won't need bread. My komash malon. What's Rabbi Yochanan telling us? What's the chiddush? The kosov Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion Adam miskaper b'shvach hegdish. A person is able to fulfill his sacrificial obligations with the profits one benefits from Hegdish. The profits being, in this case, the Shvach Hegdish, the offspring that was born from something that he had sanctified. So we were looking for the case that Rabbi Yochanan's distinction would apply to. We have found it. The case where he had accepted upon himself a personal obligation to bring a korban todah. That means if anything happens to the animal he set aside, he has to make good on it. And since he has to make good on it, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us he is able to use the vlad as the means of fulfilling his original obligation. And as a result of that, it will be the todah as far as this person is concerned. And it will need to have breads brought with it. That's the case of Lifnei Kapora. If, however, he had fulfilled his obligation of bringing a Todah with another animal, when it comes to this Vlad, then he won't bring breads with it. That's called Odom Miskaper B'Shvach Hegdish. Havi Bo Nami Abaye Ki Hai Gavna. Abaye also was trying to figure out what this distinction was going on, and he answered the same way we just answered in the Gemara, namely that the distinction of Lefnei Kapora and Achar Kapora of Rabbi Yochanan applies to the case of a Vlad Toidas Choiva. The distinctions that we just made in the different scenarios is repeated now again in the Gemara under a different name. Itmar Nami Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Truth is that we've been discussing the comment made by Rabbi Yochanan up till this point. Here you have the teachings that we just saw said straight out in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, in this case by Rav Yitzchak, quoting Rav Yochanan. We've underlined the different cases. Chilufei toida nidava, the case where a person had said hare zu and not accepted a personal obligation, then we say bein lifnei kapora bein lacha kapora teuno lechem. The person had set aside a replacement animal on the occasion of the original one getting lost. We say if he found the original animal, whether he brings it before he was yotze or he brings it after he had already been yotze, they will both need bread. Marbe betoydos hu. This person is simply interested in bringing extra korban todas. Vlad toida nidava, the offspring of an animal that he set aside as a korban toda by saying hare zu without accepting personal obligation. So as far as that vlad is concerned, bein lefnei kapora bein lacha kapora ein toun lechem, that offspring will not require bread, even in a case where the person had not as yet brought his original korban todah. Why? Moisar de todah hu. That offspring is called simply the profit or benefit from a korban todah, and as such, it's not the main korban todah, and therefore it does not need bread. Vlad todah choiva, that depends. Lifnei kapora teunin lechem. The offspring of the toda that he had accepted upon himself personal obligation with a guarantee. So if he has not yet fulfilled his personal obligation and he uses and he brings this vlad, then it will be viewed as the main toda and need bread. However, if he brings this vlad toda as a sacrifice after he's fulfilled his personal obligation, that's la'achar kapara, ein te'unin lechem. Then there's no need for the vlad to have bread accompanying it. At this point, we have a new discussion, and hence we have a slash mark that appears. Shmuel's din is now going to be featured. We circled Shmuel's name as our attention will be focused on what he teaches. Before going on in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our nosei, our topic heading, on the outside margin. Dinoi shel Shmuel. We're going to call this the teaching of Shmuel, the law of Shmuel. He states a rule. The rule contains a relationship or an equation. And it says as follows. Point Aleph. Kol shebechatos mesa. A scenario in which a korban chatos will have to be set aside to die, namely not be offered. Betoda ein teuno lechem. The equivalent case involving a toda sacrifice, the animal will be brought, but there will be no bread brought along with it. And the second equation, kol shebechatos roya, a case in which a korban chatas will be designated to go out and graze till it develops a blemish and not be set aside to die, betoida bo'i lechem. That case involving a korban toda, the animal then that's brought, will require the breads. Now, we haven't been specific at all regarding this topic of kol shebechatas mesa, but there exists a halacha l'Moshe miSinai that says that under certain circumstances, a korban chatos that had been set aside as a sin offering is not to be brought. What happens to it? Well, it depends. Depends on the circumstances. In the context of this Gemara, we're not going to go through all of them. However, there is a machlokes tanoim concerning how extensive this rule is. One of the well-known cases is a dechatos shekipru ba'aleha. Let us say a person had violated a type of sin requiring him to bring a korban chatos. He set aside the korban chatos. The korban chatos got lost. He had, of course, to fulfill his obligation, so he set aside another animal, brought it as his korban chatos and then found the original one. That's the case of chatos shekipru ba'aleho, a chatos whose owner already achieved his atonement through another animal. What does one do with the original animal? So we say it's set aside to die. It's called mesa. According to Shmuel's rule, one would expect that if you have a case like that with a korban toida, a person had a toda obligation, had set aside an animal, it got lost, brought a replacement animal with its bread to fulfill his personal obligation, then found the original animal. So since if that were a chatos, it would die. Since we're talking about a toda, it doesn't die. It's brought as a toda, but without the bread. That would be an illustration, a possible illustration, of Shmuel's first principle of kol shebechatos mesa, betoda ein tuno lechem. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Mosi Omar Rav Omar Shmuel, kol shebechatos mesa, betoda ein tuno lechem. Kol shebechatos roya, roya is to be set out to graze and not die, graze until it develops a blemish, and then that animal is redeemed, and the money is used to buy other kinds of korbanos. So, betoda te'uno lechem. If the same thing happened to the toda, when it's brought, it would require breads. The Gemara now raises a long question. The Gemara will simply raise a case, a scenario which challenges Shmuel's rule. The markings that we have here, you see a house shape. This is explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh, the structural note. The houses in this Gemara will be appearing numerous times. Their positions will be flipping around. Top tip of the house, the roof facing upwards, and then flipping over. So with the roof facing upwards, they represent kushios. We noted, by the way, in parentheses, this is a ma'akav use of the marking. Ma'akav is to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion, like we saw in our previous sugya. So, as we said, the roof facing up represents kushios, questions, and with the house flipping over, that will represent tshuvos, answers. So in the Gemara, Mosiv of Amram, Mahu Omer Hatoido Yakriv. This quote, we have a Tanaic source that you can see in a frame. This is not the first time that we're seeing this. This appeared on the previous daf as well. So the Brisa darshins this pasuk, Hatoido Yakriv. Minayin lemafrish toidoso v'ovda, v'ifrish acheres tachteha, v'nimseis horishona. From where do we know that a person who set aside a korban toda got lost? He set aside then a replacement one and found the first one, and both are standing in front of you. From where do I know that he has a choice? Whichever one he wants to bring, he can bring, and whichever one he chooses to bring, along with it will come the breads. Talmud Lomar, Hatoido Yakriv, indicating, Hatoido Yakriv, indicating there was some kind of choice, and he has the option of choosing whichever one. Yocholte Shniotun Alechem, could it be that the second animal will also need bread? Talmud Lomar, Yakrivenu, that word is in the singular, meaning, Echod Velo Shnayim, one needs the bread, but not both. Now we've dashed underlined the expression velo shnayim. That means for our purposes the second animal no bread. Now when you see the expression no bread, you can at this point already plug it back into Shmuel's equations. So if it's a no bread toda, you would expect the chatos case, that the animal will be set aside to die. But let's see if that's really the case. The ilu gabi chatos ki hai gavno. when it comes to a korban chatos under these circumstances, roya, it goes out to graze. Well, according to Shmuel's rule, if you have a toda that there's no bread going to be brought, then in the chatos case, you would have assumed it would be set aside to die. But in this very case, where you had set aside a korban chatos, it got lost, you set aside a second one. And before offering the second one, you found the first one. And they're both standing in front of you, just like we saw in the case of the toda. And you choose one chatos to serve as your sin offering. What's the din with regard to the second one? The second one is set out to graze. Disnan, we will now see this in a source. Hifrish chatosoi v'ovda. He set aside a sin offering. It got lost. V'hifrish acheres tachta and set aside a replacement one in its stead. V'nimseis harishoina. And then he found the first one. And both are in front of him. Miskapir v'achas mehen. He chooses one of them. We're going to de-emphasize this for right now. Chachomim omrim ein chatos meso elo shenimtzeis la'achas shenizkapu b'aylim. The Chachomim, which is the sheet that we want to focus on right now, says that a chatos does not die, is not set aside to die, unless it's found after the owner received his atonement through the replacement animal. If, however, he found the lost one before he achieved any atonement, and they're both standing in front of him, Raya, the animal that he doesn't use is set out to graze. It doesn't die. So if you focus on these markings, the dashed underlines, you see that in the case of the chatos, we've emphasized grazing. In the case of the toida, the second animal, the animal namely that he does not use as his original toda, it says no bread. Well, according to Shmuel's rule, if the chatos is going to graze, then the toda would require bread. So the Gemara answers. You notice the house form flips over. Shmuel kerebi svirolei. Now we can go back to the source. We read a little phrase in that source rapidly because we wanted to de-emphasize it. It would have interfered with appreciating the question. But now it actually is the answer. In the source we just read concerning the chatos that he set aside and got lost, we've underlined the two shitas in that source. We have the Chachamim and Rebbe. Now, if you look at Rebbe's Shita, in the case that the two chatois are standing in front of him, and he chooses one, Rebbe says the second one dies. Let's read this inside. And of course, if by saying that the second one dies, then we understand very well why by the toda, the second animal does not require the bread. That's Shmuel's rule. So Shmuel formulated his rule basing himself on the opinion of Rebbe. Let's read the Gemara. Shmuel k'Rebbe svirolei, the Omar avuda b'shas hafrosha mesa, an animal that is lost when you are setting aside a replacement animal, that's enough to warrant the death of that lost animal, even if it's found before he offers the replacement animal as his chatos obligation. Therefore, we understand why, in the case of the toda, there's no bread for the second animal. The second animal, namely, the one that he does not, the one that is brought after he fulfills his toda obligation. We have a new marking that we just read over, the crown shape that we have around Rebbe. This is placed here because later in the Gemara, there will be a new approach that we haven't seen yet with regard to Shmuel. Shmuel based on whom? Since there will be another Tana suggested, the marking will be used to highlight that second Tana later on. And we've indicated this under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin where you see the crown shape appears. And we've written, Kemi Sover Shmuel. Like whom does Shmuel hold? Kerebi? And later we'll see another opinion for Rabbi Shimon. So in the meantime, we want to focus on Shmuel and Shitas Rebbe and see if Shmuel in fact does conform to Rebbe. As of right now, we see an application of Shmuel's first rule, namely, Kol Shebechatos Mesa B'Toido Ein Tuvno Lechem. We just learned an example of that. The Gemara asks, Ela Roya LeRebbe Hechi Mishkachas Lo. Where does Rebbe have a grazing situation? After all, Shmuel said two rules, if you will, that fall under the teaching of Shmuel. So where is there a manifestation of the second point of Shmuel, namely Kol Shebechatas Roya? So and since Shmuel is based on Rebbe, we're asking within Rebbe, if we can find out within Rebbe, Rebbe's shita, Rebbe's opinion that there'll be Roya, then I'll say, okay, that's what Shmuel had in mind when he said his rule. So the Gemara answers, Kidda Rebbe Shaya. We'll have a grazing case, according to Rebbe, as illustrated by Rebbe Oshaya's teaching. The Omer Rebbe Oshaya, Hifrish Shtei Chatois Lachrayas. If a person had violated a sin requiring him to bring a korban chatos, a sin offering, and the violator set aside two animals, one to serve as a backup. If anything happens to one animal, the second animal will be available. That's achrayas, it's a guarantee. Miskaper be'eza mehen shiyurtze, the person who set aside the two animals has the option of choosing either one. Vashnia tir'eh, and the second one will be set out to graze. Okay, so we have then a grazing example by a chatos. According to Shmuel's rule, if the chatos grazes, the second animal, in the case of a todah, under the same circumstances, the second animal will require bread. However, this is a problem. The same case by a korban todah, where a person had set aside two korban todahs, the second one simply to serve as a backup for the first one. He then uses the one animal as his korban todah. The second animal does not require bread. So how could Shmuel say, Kol Shebechatas Roya B'Todah Bo Lechem? We have here, we would have a challenge to that rule. Ela, so the Gemara responds, Shmuel K'Rabbi Shimon Svirulei. Shmuel does not say his halacha not like Rebbe, not like the Rabbonim, but rather like Rebbe Shimon, a new Tano, the Omar, Shitas Rebbe Shimon is Chamesh Chatois Mesos. Five chatos cases. I would like to say all five cases of chatos die. In other words, the examples that we might have touched upon above, where we saw a roe possibility, according to Rabbi Shimon, that case also, the animal, the chatos, will be set aside to die. And as a result of that, the parallel case of todah, there is no bread obligation, and that's fine. That's what Shmuel said. One of the cases of chatos mesa includes the case of a person having set aside two chatos, one to serve as a backup for the other. Rabbi Shimon will tell you that when you choose one, the second animal is classified as a chatos sheniskapru ba'aleho. And as a result of that, the second animal will die. And with that, I understand why the parallel case of the todah does not require bread. The Gemara asks, "V'ho roya l'Rabbi Shimon lesle klal?" But according to Rabbi Shimon, there are actually no cases that of the chatos being set aside to graze. If that be the case, if there's no case of set aside to graze, then we're not going to find a case of todah that the second animal will need the bread. So what about Shmuel? Shmuel had said two rules. The Gemara says, surprise, Shmuel nami chado komar. Shmuel never said two rules. Shmuel simply said, kol shebechatos meisa, but todah ein teuno lechem. The Gemara asks then, my komash molon, what is Shmuel trying to reveal? Rashi elaborates on the question and says, Shmuel could have simply said, Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Why did Shmuel set up the rule in such a as such an elaborate fashion? The Gemara answers, Shmuel was attempting to accomplish something. He was coming la'afuke mid Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar, Odom miskapir b'shvach hekdesh. We saw this above. On the upper part of the page, you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And that we have here and above, this arrow enables you to see where Rabbi Yochanan's statement was. Shmuel, by telling us that kol shebechatas mesa betoide ein tom lechem, one of the cases of chatas mesa happens to be vlad chatas, a person who set aside a sin offering and it gave birth to an offspring. The offspring is set off to die. So according to that, the case of a vlad toda, the toda, the vlad, will not be require bread. Rabbi Yochanan, though, on the case of a todas nedava, said that if you choose to use the vlad as your korban toda, it will require the bread. So Rabbi Shmuel over here is coming to the exclusion, or he's coming to preclude Rabbi Yochanan's possibility by saying that a person is not miskaper, he doesn't use that vlad to fulfill his toda obligation. And therefore, when he brings the vlad, even if he brings it as the first toda, it will not require bread. So let's just read that again. Lafuke midi Rabbi Yochanan diomar odo miskaper b'shvach hekdesh. Shmuel's goal here is to the exclusion of Rabbi Yochanan, who had said that a person could use the vlad to fulfill his primary toda obligation. Komash molon delo. Shmuel is coming to tell me, no, you cannot use the vlad as fulfillment of your primary toda obligation. And therefore, eventually, when you do bring the vlad as a korban, it will not have bread brought with it, even in the case that you haven't fulfilled your toda obligation as of yet. And once again, that's because Shmuel holds ein odom miskaper. A person does not fulfill his obligation through shvach hekdesh, through something that is represents the profit from hekdesh. In this case, profit being the offspring. We see a slash mark indicating, as we've said previously, this is a new idea. Omar Rabbi Abba, Zu Toida Vezu Lachma. A person designated an animal and breads. He said, this is going to be a korban toda, and these are the breads. It's noteworthy that when he says Zu Toda, he's not accepting upon himself a personal obligation. He's simply delineating or designating that this animal shall be a korban toda. In addition to that, he also is designating the breads that will accompany it. The Gemara, Rabbi Abba, goes on to tell us two scenarios. One, Aleph, Ovad Halechem. In that case, if the breads get lost, Mevi Lechem Acher, he is obligated to bring replacement breads. And the chiddush here is, even though he did not say Harei Olai, however, Ovdo Toido, if the basic animal, the animal gets lost, Eino Mevi Todo Acheres, then he doesn't have to bring a new Toda. He never said Harei Olai. So the Gemara asks, my taima, why is it that in the case that the breads get lost, that he has to bring replacement breads? Answer, lechem glal toida. The breads are brought as a subsidiary, or because of the toda. The breads are subsidiary. So that when the main animal is still there, he has to make sure that everything goes according to plan. And therefore he has to bring the breads because the main element is still there. However, the other way around, we say, v'ein toda glal lechem, meaning that even though in the second scenario where the toda got lost, the breads were still around, we don't say that he has to replace the toda because he has the breads. The subsidiary item, the breads, do not necessitate the replacement of that which was the main element. And a new section, a new idea. This piece of Gemara features a diamond in it, and in the outside margin we have a Mivne note. These diamonds will appear around Rava. These are Memros Shel Rava. So one you see over here, and on Amud Beis, toward the upper part of Amud Beis, you will see another comment of Rava. In this case, the topic heading is the Nosei, Hifrish Mois, person set aside money, Letoida, or lalechem, for the purchase of the animal, or for the purchase of bread, v'nisvasru, and there was leftover monies. In other words, he set aside more money than he needed. Omar Rava, hifrish mois, a person set aside money, aleph, le toidoso, for the animal, v'nisvasru, and there was leftover money, mevi bohen lechem. He can use the leftover money for the purchase of the bread. There are 40 loaves that accompany a korban toda. So the money that he has set aside for the animal, if there's leftover funds, he can use that for the breads. Lelachme toda v'nisvasru. This is the Bay's case where he had set aside money for the breads, and he purchased the breads, and there was leftover funds. Ein mevi bohen toda. He cannot use the leftover funds for the purchase of the toda. My taima, why is this? Ilemo mishum de Rav Kahana, if you think it's because of Rav Kahana's teaching, de Amar Rav Kahana, minayin lelachme toido shenikru toda. From where do we know that the breads of the toda are referred to by the term toido shenemar? Vehikriv al zevach hatoido chalos matzos. So in this pasuk you see hatoido chalos, so that the term toda applies to the breads. Therefore, when he set aside money for the toda, and there's leftover money, the term toda includes the breads. So that there is an understanding that you can use the money that was set aside for toda to buy the breads. The breads are called toda. If that be the case, though, ihachi ibchonami. So the other way around should be as well. If you're saying that the breads are called toida, so if he had set aside money to buy the breads and there's leftover money, he should be allowed to use the money to buy an animal. The Gemara answers that that is not the case. Lechem ikri toida. The bread is called toida. However, toida lo ikri lechem. The animal, though, is not called bread. Rashi in the Ksav Yad, the lower part of the page, you can see the third line of the Rashi Ksav Yad commentary. Toido lo ikri lechem. The animal is not called bread. V'chi omar mois halolu lelachme toido. When a person says, I'm setting aside these monies for the toda breads, lo havya toido v'ois hashem. The animal is not included in that term. Toho lo ikri lechem. So that if a person had set aside money for lachme toda, it's true that lachme toda are called toda, but to say that the toda, the animal, is called lachme toda, that's just not true. And therefore, the monies that were set aside for the purchase of breads cannot be used for the purchase of the toda animal. V'omar Rava. Another Rava comment. In this piece of Gemara, we have some markings. The diamond we explained already. That's the comments made of Rava. This is the second Rava comment. In addition to that, we have a crown marking in this Omid Gemara. The crown is used to highlight the word Hifrish. You have one over here, and a few lines later, you have a number two, a case of Hifrish Hatoso. On the outside margin, we have the Nosei Mivneh note combined. The crown mark is featured. You see Hifrish. The case of Hifrish, he set aside a Toda, and later a case of Chatos. These words, Toda and Chatos, happen to be squiggle underlined in the Gemara text so that you can see the two cases more easily. So he set aside one of these animals. The Ovda, it got lost. The Chozar v'Hifrish, he then set aside a second animal. The Ovda, and the second animal got lost. The Chozar v'Hifrish, and he set aside a third animal. V'Nimtzu Arishonos, v'Rishlosh Tanondos, and he found the two lost animals. And now he has the three animals standing in front of him. That scenario will be in the case of the Toda, and later in the case of the Chatos. We are going to use a double underline, and we've noted its role here. De'ois, shoinois, b'mau ha'din. These double underlines represent different opinions regarding what will the halacha be kishebocharim echod mehem lekaporoso. When he chooses one of these animals, what effect does his choice on one have with regard to the other animals? So there will be different opinions on this topic. What happens when he chooses one? And we've also noted here, by way of introduction to the sugya, point one, there will be a nafkamina b'toida legabi halechem. The choice of one animal will have bearing on the issue of the breads concerning the other animals. And nafkamina b'chatos, there will be a practical bearing in the case of the chatos, namely when you choose one, ezo min hashar tomus midin chatos shiniskapru baleo. Which of the other animals will die based on the idea of we have a case of when you choose one of the animals, in the case of the chatos, that's going to serve as the atonement for the owner. Therefore, you have an owner who has achieved atonement. That's a chatos shiniskapru baleo. We say the other one shall die. So the question will be, which other one? And that will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. Turning now to the Gemara, Omar, the Omar Rava, the Vav in the word V'Omar indicates another comment of Rava. Hifrish Toidoso V'Avda. He set aside a korban toda and it got lost. V'chazar v'hifrish acheres tachteh v'yavda. He set aside a second one, hoping that would serve as his korban toda, and it got lost. V'chazar v'hifrish acheres tachteh, and he then set aside a third one. And at the point that he set aside, after he set aside the third one, v'nimtzu rishonos. He found the original ones. V'harei shloshen omdos, and all three are standing in front of him. As the Gemara goes on, you'll notice we have underlined several phrases and numbered 1, 2, and 3. This represents the three possibilities in this case. So number 1, Niskaper Barishona, if he chooses the first animal to serve as his korban toda, Shnia Eino Teuno Lechem, the second one does not require the bringing of bread. That's called Chalipe Toda. That was the supposed replacement for the first one. But if he used the first one, the second one does not require bread based on that concept of Chalipe Toda, a concept whose source we have already learned. Shlishis Teuno Lechem. The third animal was not a replacement for the first animal, so it's viewed as an independent toda. We'll call it marbe betodos. Rashi points out that even though he had an obligation to bring a toda, it seems that it's a case where he had said hare olai, the third one nevertheless was not brought as a replacement or a guarantee of fulfillment of the first animal. And therefore, it's viewed as a separate toda, or we call it marbe betodos, another concept that we've learned earlier. And therefore, the shlishis tuna lechem, it does require its own set of 40 breads. Niskaper b'shlishis. Here, the Gemara goes to the other extreme. He chooses the third animal to serve as his korban toda. So we say, shnia eino tuna lechem, the second one does not require bread. The second one, in effect, is associated with the third one. The third was brought as a replacement for the second one. But if he's choosing the third one, then the second one is relieved of needing breads. However, Rishona Tuna Lechem, the first one, the original one, will require breads. Like we said before, the third one is not related to the first one. This third case, Be'emtsoyis, he chooses the second one as his korban toda. Now that second animal is actually related to both the first and the third. The second animal was the replacement for the first animal, and the third animal was brought as a replacement for the second one. Now, and he chooses the second one to serve as his toda. So shtehen ein teunos lechem. Both of these will not require they will not require the bread. Abaye Omar, afilu niskaper ba'achas mehen. Abaye says, no matter which one he chooses, shtehen ein teunos lechem. The other two will not require bread. Kulu chalipin dahadodi ninhu. They are all considered chalipin of one another. Or in simpler terms, as one will see in Rashi, they all come mikoyach harishon. In other words, the fact that there's a number two and a number three animal in this scenario is only because he had set aside an original animal. So they all the animals, even the third animal, is considered an outgrowth of the first one. And as such, they're called chalipin, and chalipei toda do not require breads. Omar Rabbi Zeira, v'chein le'inyin chatois. Now, Rabbi Zeira, he says the same thing will apply with regard to chatos, and we'll see that Rabbi Zeira is more parallel with Rava's approach that we saw in the case of the Toda, namely Rabbi Zeira's approach will be to make distinctions. Abaye will resurface in this case of the chatos, advancing his thoughts. His thoughts in the chatos are very similar to his thoughts with regard to the Toda. So Rabbi Zeira, as we mentioned, brings in the case of the chatos, says v'chein l'inyan chatos hifrish chatos of yavda v'hifrish acheres tachteh of yavda v'hifrish acheres tachteh of v'nimtzu arishonos v'rishloshten omdos. The three are now in front of him. Niskaper b'rishona, if the person who's obligated to bring his chatos uses the first one to serve as his atonement, shnia tomus, the second one will die. The second one will set aside as a replacement for the first one. The second one, in this case where he uses the first one, is now called a chatos sheniskapru baleo. The owner received his atonement with the first one. Therefore, the shniotomus. The second one dies based on that concept of chatos sheniskapru baleo. The halacha l'moshe misnei tells me that since the owner received his atonement through the first one, the second one is set to die. Shlishis tir'eh, the third one, though, is not associated. It's not considered a replacement for the first animal, and therefore it's set out to graze, and it grazes until it develops a blemish, and at that time, when it gets the blemish, it's redeemed, and the money is used for buying other kinds of sacrifices. Niskabru b'shlishis. If the owner uses the third animal to serve as his chatos, shnia tomus, the second animal will be set off to die. V'rishona tir'eh, the first one will go out and graze. Niskaper b'emtsoyis, if he chooses the second animal to serve as his atonement, Shtehen Yamusu. Then number one and number three will die based on their being labeled Chatos Shiniskapru Baaleha, that they are Korban Chatois, but the owner already received his atonement through the number two animal. And one and three are associated as being replacements for the number two. Abaye Omar, Afilu Niskapru Baachas Mehen. No matter which one he chooses, Shtehen Yomusu, the other two are to die. Kulu Chalipin Dadodi Ninu. They are all brought as a result of the first animal. The Gemara asks, my v'chein. The paralleling seems to be something very obvious. What did Rabbi Zeira accomplish by saying, and the same thing applies to Chatos? Once you present the case of the Todah and the relative closeness of the other animals to one another, I could have figured out the case of the Chatos on my own. So the Gemara answers, Mal de Tema, had I not had Rabbi Zeira setting up this parallel, I would have thought, Hasam, in the case of the Todah, Hudi Kolameimar, Mar Bebetoidesu. There's room to think that he's bringing extra ones. And as a result of this idea of bringing extra ones, I can see where you'll have additional animals requiring breads. Aval Hocha, Deleka Lameimar, Mar Bebetoidesu. In the case of a Korban Chatos, where there's no option, it's not an optional, voluntary kind of sacrifice, as is the case with the Todah, since a person doesn't bring extra chatos simply because he wants to, Emo lo, I would therefore think that it's not like the case of the Todah, and rather, they should all die. Komash Malon, this is what Rabbi Zeira is gaining by saying that they don't all die. Of course, that's exactly how Rabbi Zeira presented the case. Abaye disagreed, but we were asking why is it that Rabbi Zeira brought in the case of the Chatos. We can see that without his bringing this case in, I would have thought that all of the other animals, the other two animals, the ones that he doesn't choose, shall die. Komashmon, Rabbi Zeira is telling me that that's not automatically the case. Only the animal closest to the one that he used is to die. We, of course, see the slash mark, but in addition to that, we have a rare appearance of our firebox marking. The firebox is used to highlight a name, idea, or a shita that preoccupies the Gemara for at least an Omid Gemara, if not more. In this case, we have a Tanaic source taught by Rabbi Chiya. The source that Rabbi Chiya brings in will, in effect, keep us preoccupied till the end of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Braisa de Rabbi Chiya. We've also featured the Rabbi Chiya in the firebox in the outside margin. The Brice of Rabbi Chiya de Kotoni that teaches Toidah Shinis Arev B'Tmurasa, a Korban Toda that got mixed up with a Tmura of it. A Tmura is a case where a person had an animal that was dedicated as a sacrifice, like in our case he dedicated an animal as a Toda, and there was a non-consecrated animal next to it, a Hulin animal, and he replicated the Kedusha onto it. Namely, he said, Hare zu kezu. So he said about this other animal that it should also be a toda. That's called tmuras toda. A tmura, by the way, does not require breads. Even though it's brought as a sacrifice, it itself does not require breads. Umeisa echod mehem. The source of Rabbi Chiya will teach us that one of them dies. I don't know which one. Chaverto ein lo takona. the one that remains, and as we said, we don't know which one it is, it has no hope, no solution for what to do with it. Ha-gemara koidem mivareres, the Gemara beforehand will evaluate or will analyze be'ezo loshin kibel atzmo lohovi atoida. Olai oi harei zu. You can see we have this double underline marking with design between them, highlighting these two expressions. Is the case where he said harei olai involving a personal obligation, a guarantee to have this korban brought, or was it a harei zu case where he designated a specific animal, but if anything were to happen to it, he does not bear any personal obligation to make good on it? So that will be the first job of the Gemara, to determine what was the background to the setting aside of the Todah featured in Rabbi Chiya's source. Trying to remember that whatever scenario we say, we have to remember that we're going to end up with an insoluble situation. After we determine what the language of original obligation was, the Gemara will then spend a great deal of time presenting attempts to say that really there is a solution. After each suggestion, which is represented by a triangle point facing up, then a dechia will follow, which will be represented by triangle point facing down. Since at the end of the day we will reject each one of the solutions, we'll then understand what Rabbi Chiya meant in his source that said there is no solution. So as far as today's shiur is concerned, we will start the list of suggestions, but since they cover all of Pei Aleph, Omid Aleph, we won't go through all of them in the context of this particular shiur. That will, Mirtz Hashem, have to wait for the next shiur, the next installment. Nevertheless, we start Toni Rabbi Chiya in the Gemara, where the firebox appears. The following Tanaic source taught by Rabbi Chiya, Toidu Shinis Arva B'Tumurasa U'Meisachas Mehen. A Todah that got mixed up with its Tamura. One of them died, and I don't know which one. Chaverta ein lo takona. The surviving animal has no solution. Hechinavid. What should we do? Nakriv lechem bahador. Should I bring loaves with it? Dilma tamurahi. Maybe the surviving animal is the tamura, and a tamura does not require bread. Loi nakriv lechem bahador. Bring the animal that survived without bread. Dilma todahi. Maybe it's the todah and it requires breads. Well, hechidami. The hechidami we present here as a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending dashed vertical line. This represents a long question. The Gemara's hechidami. E de omar olai. If you're talking about a person that had accepted upon himself a personal obligation with a guarantee to see to it that a todah is brought, well, the lo sagyo, the lo maisi le behemo achrino velechem, is it not so, or is it not enough that he does not bring another animal and breads and states? Before going further, the point of this question is, if the case involved a harei olai, where a person said, upon me is to bring a korban todah, a statement involving acceptance of personal responsibility and guarantee, then of course there is a solution to this case. This person, being that he has a personal obligation and doesn't know the nature of the animal that has survived, he's going to have to bring a replacement animal anyway. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, lo sagya, de lo maisi le be machrino. Is it not sufficient that he doesn't bring another one? Namely, he of course has to bring another animal with breads, velema, and he can say as follows. If the surviving animal in the mix-up case is the tmura, ha toda v'holachmo. This new animal that I'm bringing is the toda, and these are its breads. And the tmura animal remains without breads. E hach the kaimo toda he. If the surviving animal is the toda, then ha lachma, the breads that I'm bringing now are for it, namely the surviving animal. The ha teve achrayas, and the animal that I'm bringing now will serve as a backup. Well, that's a very reasonable thing to do. And why does the source say Ein lo takona? Loi tzricha. I need the teaching of Reb Chiya, namely that there's no takona, there's no solution for the following. V'yomar harei zu. There was no personal obligation to make good on the korban toda because it was originally designated specifically the animal. The animal was specified when he said harei zu. I want this to be a toda without a personal obligation. You see, in the Gemara it says simin and a number of three lines of words. These are all words that serve as a mnemonic, if you will, to signify the continuation, the unfolding of the Gemara, where numerous suggestions are represented and eventually they are rejected. So we're going to continue now with this in mind, that we have someone who does not have an obligation. Therefore, we can't expect the person, it's not imperative for the person to bring a new animal in order to fulfill an obligation, because there is no obligation that he ever accepted on himself. The Gemara nevertheless goes on now with, we can call them either questions or suggestions, for saying that even in this case where he said Harei Zu, is there not a solution? Omru Lemeidim Lefnei Rebbe. The expression Lemeidim Lefnei Rebbe is a reference to Levi. Levi, one of the significant scholars of the early Amoraic period. So Levi says to Rebbe, V'laisi lechem v'lema. Why can't he bring 40 loaves and say, Ihach dekaimo toidohi ho lachmo. If that which survived is the toda, then these are the breads. I loi, and if it's not, leipuk lechulin, then let the breads be common or mundane, non-holy. Omar Lahu, so Rebbe says to Levi, that if that first animal, or if the surviving animal is a tmura, and you're bringing these breads into the Beis HaMikdash, the tmura would not require breads. The breads are totally unnecessary. V'chi machnisin chulin la'azora. Does one bring the mundane, that which is mundane, into the Azora? No, there's a prohibition of bringing chulin la'azora. So on the side on the chance that this animal is a non-totem, it's rather the tamura, these breads are unnecessary, and you would be in violation of chulin ba'azora. So therefore, that's not a reasonable suggestion. Question, or new suggestion, v'leisi behemo v'lechem, why not bring an animal with breads, v'lemo, and say as follows, ihach dekaimo tmura hi, if the surviving animal is the tmura, ho toida v'ho lachma, then let this be dedicated as a toda, and these are its breads. Ihach dekaimo toida hi, if the surviving animal is the toda, ho lachma, then these are its breads. The ho, and the animal I'm bringing in now, teve shlomim, it shall be a shlomim. That's a suggestion. Before we can go on with the rejection of this, a word of introduction. A korban toda has a one-day eating time frame. A korban shlomim has a two-day time frame. An animal that has a longer amount of time to eat it, if for some reason you restrict the amount of time, that's called being memayet b'achila. And we don't approve of that. It's very undesirable to limit the time for eating a korban that has a longer time period. Now, according to this scenario, how much time will, in which time frame will he eat these animals? Well, since he has to take into consideration that which he's bringing maybe is a todah, the new animal that he's bringing is a todah, he'll want to eat it within a day. On the other hand, maybe it really is a shlama because the surviving animal was the todah. And if that be the case, he's going to be forced into eating that which is a shlamim in much less time. He's going to be memayet the achila. So now, turning to the Gemara, Omar Lahu. So the suggestion is rejected on the following: Mishum dekom memayet ba'achila deshlamim. On the tzad that this animal in fact is a shlamim because the surviving animal had been the todah, he nevertheless is going to be eating it within a day because of the suffix that maybe the replacement, this animal he's bringing now, maybe is in fact the todah. So because of his hastening to eat it within one day, when there is a possibility that the surviving animal was the todah, and this is a shlamim, he is in violation of this rule not to limit the time of eating allotted to a sacrifice. New suggestion. Omar Levi, the Rebbe. V'leisi behemo v'lechem. Why not have and bring an animal and breads? V'lemo. Ihach dekaimo tmurahi. If the surviving animal was the tmura, ha toida v'holachmo. Then this new animal is a toda, and these are its breads. V'ihai dekaimo todahi. And if the surviving animal is the toda, then ha lachma, these breads I'm bringing now will be its breads for the surviving animal. Ha teve moiser de toda, and that which I'm bringing in now, let us label it as moiser toda, and as such, a moiser toda is brought without breads. Amarle, Rebbe responds with a very acerbic response. It appears to me that this man, he's referring to Levi, has no brain in his skull. Is there such a concept as setting aside an animal and labeling it as a moisar? Moisar meaning the benefit or outgrowth of? Not so. There is no such thing. In other words, the idea of a moiser toida, that may arise where you have something like the offspring of a toida, the monies that were set aside to buy something and you didn't need all of the money, so there was leftover outgrowth of an original. However, to say initially on an animal that I set aside, I am dedicating this as a moiser toida in anticipation of it not needing the breads, that doesn't exist. That's as far as Rebbe's concerned, and he rejects Levi's suggestion. As you can see, we're at the top line of Pei Aleph. From an Aleph, a new triangle appears with the point facing up, namely a new suggestion for solving the scenario presented in the Rebbe Chiya source, but that too will be rejected, and numerous attempts arise with their accompanying rejections as you scan down Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. However, in the context of our Shiurim, we conclude our Shiur at this point for today.